tweet at TodaySOR.
Now, in a statement issued just before we came on air, RTE said it intends to appeal the decision of the Workplace Relations Commission, which was published yesterday. In that decision, RTE was ordered to pay a former television producer €100,000 in compensation by the WRC after forcing her to retire when she reached the age of 65. Anne Roper, a senior television executive producer, was obliged to retire in July of 2018, despite asking to continue working for RTE for another 18 months. To discuss the implications of this judgment, I am joined by employment law solicitor Richard Grogan. Thanks indeed for coming in, Richard.
Thank you.
Just explain to us, first of all, the basis for this judgment and ruling by the WRC. On what grounds did Anne Roper win her case?
Well, firstly, this is very similar to the Valerie Cox case that was on. And there was an issue here, her contract didn't have a retirement age in it. So that was one of the first issues that on it. The second one on it was that there was no objective justification for having her retire at the age of 65. And the test on this is objective justification. And the argument from RTE appears to be that this was career progression to allow younger people to progress up the line. But that argument really is one that seriously has to be looked at, because this high idea is this only applies at 65. If this was a valid argument, you would then have a situation that you would be saying in organisations, well, I'm sorry, you can't apply for this job unless you're under a certain age, or this job is limited to people in this category.
But is there not a certain logic to saying there should be a flow through organisations of talent, and people, once they reach a certain age, then they move on and they're thanked for their services, and then other people get opportunities?
Well, if you took that to its logical conclusion, you would say that somebody comes into an organisation when they've left school or when they've left university, and they'd say, well, look, this is your career progression. Now, unless you get over the next hurdle, that's fine. You haven't got over it, so you're out. And there would be war if that was the situation. Mm-hmm. So this whole idea, the 65 age, it's arbitrary. I mean, it came in originally from Otto von Bismarck, who brought in one at 70. Now, that was when people had a life expectancy of 55, so you weren't going to get the state pension. But 65 was the age set by the UK. When we got our independence, we carried on that 65, but that was at a time when people had a life expectancy of no more than 70. Mm. So now you've got people, you know, if somebody dies at 80 now, they're saying that's young. So people have a longer working life.
Yeah, but in this particular case, how significant was the fact that on her contract, Ms. Roper did not have a specific or specified retirement age or date?
That's a very significant point. On its own. But even when you have this arbitrary date, an employer has to be able to say, this is how we set this date. So it's not just a question of picking one out of the air and printing off the standard contract and saying, well, this is the one we have, 65. The question that you're going to be asked in a hearing is, when you set the age of 65, what was the criteria that you set? And very often, when you're an employment lawyer, you're going to be met with blinding silence. Because the answer is, well, we just put that in.
Always been like this, it has, by the way.
Well, it's always been like this, which is, that's not an answer, because you have to be able to objectively justify it for the job.
Yeah, just this objective justification. Explain that concept and how it applies.
Well, the objective justification is you have to be able to come in and say, look, this is the reason why we have set this date. So if you take, we say, we have a lot of anomalies. If you take, you're a full-time firefighter, you have to retire at 55. If you're a part-time firefighter, you can go till you're 58. So how that was set, that's another area that's going to be coming up in due course. There are various jobs that have been put in and people will say, this is the reason why. And a lot of employers will be able to turn around and say, look, this is a very stressful job, or whatever it happens to be, or it's a very physically demanding job, and they're able to justify why it is.
And in your own profession, certainly at the bar, as opposed to maybe in solicitors as well, people have been known to work on into their 90s, and even I think in one celebrated case, a man who died, I think it was last year or the year before, went on, he hit the 100 and was still practising.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I mean, look, we've put this arbitrary age. You take a Supreme Court judge, a High Court judge, they're not thrown out at 65. In fact, you've got the government saying now that state employees can work till 70. we have nobody's turning around. We're going to have an election fairly soon. Nobody's turning around and saying, by the way, if you're over 65, you can't become a TD or a senator, or you can't be a county councillor because you're not capable.
Yeah, but ultimately in that case, the employer is the voter, and they can apply whatever criteria they like.
Well, yes, but I mean, the issue on it is you can't run for election in this country, you know, to be president of Ireland, unless you're 21, and you have to be 18 to be to run to be a TD.
35 to be a president, and maybe 21 to be a TD. Right. Yeah.
So why is it that somebody says we can set an age that you can't run to become a TD till you're 21? So that means why can't an 18-year-old run next month or the month after? So these are arbitrary figures. So the whole issue that comes on this is, I mean, look, you take a situation like your colleague, I think, interviewed Dr. Duffy there a couple of days ago. He's 84 and he wants to retire. Now, nobody in the HSE, when he came to 65, said, oh, by the way, you're no longer capable, so we're going to take all your public patients away from you. So there are people in the
league. But mind you, we interviewed, I had him sitting in the seat you are in now, John Crown, a very famous and distinguished cancer expert. I think he was forced to retire from St. Vincent's Hospital when he hit the 65.
Yeah, and this is completely wrong. I mean, we have to have a proper discussion in this country. We've got the state moving the retirement age to 68. So people get to 65. If they don't have a pension, they're on the dole, claiming it now going to be for 3 years. There's a serious issue to look at it. 65 was an arbitrary date set nearly 100 years ago. Now, we now have to look at lifestyles have changed. People are working, able to work longer. They have the ability to work longer.
Yeah, but and this was alluded to, I think, in the judgment by Ms. Catherine Byrne, who was the presiding person at the WRC, the Workplace Relations Commission, that she was not unmindful of RTÉ's very difficult financial situation. But in a situation, say, where I don't know how many people would be due to retire this year, and they're looking for, let's say it's 50 or some such number, and they're looking for redundancies, I mean, what are they to do?
Well, there's a lot of people who are going to be turning around. And if you're an employment lawyer, you're here dealing with people's rights. And that's what the WRC do. It's employment rights. There's a lot of people who are turning around and they're bringing cases and they're saying, I don't want to retire. I want to stay there. They're not looking for a monetary compensation because the 100,000 that was awarded is a tax-free lump sum. They would mean a lot of people would turn around and say, no, I want to come back and I want to do the job. And I mean, I remember speaking to you about Valerie Cox. Valerie Cox, she wasn't there looking for the money. She wanted the job because she loved it and she was in a position that she felt that she could do it and that she was capable of doing it. And this is the issue that we need to look at.
Yeah, but I mean, the logic of what you're saying, Richard, is that, you know, people themselves can be allowed to stay on for as long as they want and there's no way you can get rid of them as the employer.
No, that's wrong, because the issue on it is it's not as long as they want. It's as long as they're capable of doing the job. That's the objective justification. So if somebody can't do a job when they're 40 or 45, employers are going to get rid of them because they say you can't do the job.
Yeah.
So the same thing, somebody gets to 65. To say that somebody who turns 65 on Thursday, on tomorrow, Friday, that they're in work today and the company says you're capable of doing the job today, but tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, you're not. Now, that's crazy that it's put down at that arbitrary situation. You have to be able to say to people, what is the justification for this? There would be some jobs that you have to be able to say, you're not going to have a 75-year-old scaffolder. You know, that's not going to be, you can say that that's not realistic. But there's nothing to say that somebody who is doing a relatively sedentary job, which is more that it's their brain, that they're going to need to have the same level of physical ability.
One thing that worked against RTÉ, I think, in this case was they talked about intergenerational opportunity. In other words, that younger people had to get the chance. But the hole that was shot in the argument was the fact that young people's TV production, young people's programmes was outsourced a couple of years ago. So I think the court took a rather jaundiced view of, or the commission, and that's, sorry, my word, of that particular argument, saying, well, if you're so concerned about young people having opportunities, how come you outsourced the young people's programmes? But there has surely to be some element of understanding or consensus as the base on which people can have career ambitions and expectations.
Well, I don't disagree with you on that. But then you're talking about, and I mean, I know if you said it, you would then have a situation where these jobs are going to be limited to people under a certain age. These jobs are going to be, you have to be, you have to...
But who's to make the judgment?
Well, then, to be honest with you, there have been ads that have gone in, which is looking for young, dynamic, have been held to be contrary to equality legislation. So you can't go the young route. So the same thing applies the other way around. We need to have a proper discussion in this country about how you set retirement ages and how you set career progressions and how companies deal with it. And it may be that we have steps in organisations.
Yeah, and you're somebody who specialises in this area. I mean, are you getting a lot of business out of this and an increasing amount?
But these are upsetting cases when they come in, because the normal people that we have that are coming in, they come into two categories. There's the person who doesn't have a proper pension and needs to stay working. And the second one is the person who comes in who really loves their job and wants to stay on it. This is not ambulance chasing situations, people looking for money. The majority of people is, I need to stay in work, or I really want to stay in work. And they're very difficult cases for people. You're dealing with people who are in a very vulnerable situation and they're looking for help. And all employment law solicitors are seeing an increase in this area, because they're seeing people that are coming in, and it's heartbreaking when you see somebody coming in who is fit, capable and has the ability to do the job, that they're being told, you're now on the scrap heap. I mean, that's an awful thing to say to somebody who is capable of doing the job that they're doing, purely because they've hit an age, not for any other reason, and it's and when it's an arbitrary age. And certainly I see that we're going to see a lot more of these cases in next year and the year after. There's a lot of this coming through. And by the way, we have virtually full employment. We've got people out looking for people at the present time, and there's an argument to say that we should be encouraging people to be staying in the workforce longer.
Okay, well look, thank you very much indeed for coming in with those insights and observations. Richard Grogan, employment law solicitor. I'll leave the last word on this to one of our listeners saying, I'll be 65 next week. I'm being forced to work longer because the state pension won't be available until I'm 67. I'm exhausted.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.